Vante kaputurubhyascha Vipasindubhai vacha Patitaram pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo namo nama. Rishabdev Maharaj. Rishab means the topmost, greatest of persons. So Rishabdev Maharaj was certainly the greatest of persons, because he was the Lord himself, Krishna, descending. He's going to, we're hearing now the instructions that he's giving, and then he himself is going to demonstrate these instructions in a most amazing way. But that is getting a little bit ahead. Yesterday we heard the first six instructions of Maharaj, five instructions of Rishabdev Maharaj. The first one is Nayam Deha Deho Bhajan Viloki. That this human life has a special purpose. When one is young and one's body is strong and healthy, very rarely one actually sees and acts on this level. But when one's older, and especially when one's old, one really begins to see very clearly that what is material life? It's a promise that can't be fulfilled. And one sees the dwindling of his own body. Really, it's like one's best friend, that one who we've relied on our whole life. We know our body better than we know anything, practically. And we identify with it. Then it starts dwindling, and then it starts falling apart, piece by piece, or all at once. And then, we can't see, we can't hear, we can't digest. Senses are weak, no muscles, no energy. Then we understand that material life is useless. But until then, unless one is very, very intelligent, detached, perceptive, etc., it's very, very, very difficult in the fire of life. We get heated up also. But yet, Rishabdev is telling us the absolute truth. This human life in a human body is an opportunity. Give up petty sense gratification, which is arhati vidbhujam ye. Although the world is moving only for this, it is suitable for vidbhujam, the dogs and the hogs only. One who doesn't have intelligence. Instead, we should use our life, our human intelligence, our human consciousness, our human mind, our focus to shudhye sattvam, to purify the heart, sattvam shudhye. For what purpose? Yasmad brahma sokyam tvanantam. Taste a different kind of pleasure. On a different level, on the soul level, on the level that we actually exist on. When we're old, we know we are not the body, even though we identify with it. We know we're not the body. We look in the mirror, we can't believe, is this me? No! Clearly it's not me. But then in illusion we think, oh, the 17-year-old body was me. That was fresh and unwrinkled. But we can't fool anyone. And people look at us and get repelled just by looking at old people. It's like a disease that no one wants to catch, but everyone is doomed to catch. So Rishabdev gave very, very, very straight instructions. Actually, Narada Muni has previously explained this in a more gentle way to Maharaj Prachinibharisat in the fourth canto of the Bhagavatam. Don't engage in fruitive activities, he told them. Don't do it. You're causing yourself so much suffering by... What is a fruitive activity? It's an activity selfishly performed. That's basically what it is. Selfish activity based on bodily pleasure. Don't do this, he said. But he told a story to make it... When you tell a story, you're not pointing the finger at the person directly. So he can figure it out if he wants to, but there's a space between your finger and him. Basically, that's what it is when you tell it as a story. And once upon a time, there was a person who was very foolish. And he engaged in just trying to enjoy the strength of his body and his good looks for on and on. And then one day, when he looked in the mirror, he noticed his first gray hair. And then everyone could say, whew, hope he doesn't look at me. You do it, it's a gentler way of saying, but Rishabhdev Maharaj isn't doing that at all. Very, very direct. But actually he's talking as if he's talking to his sons, but he's talking to everyone who's listening actually. So he's doing that in the same thing. Because no one likes the finger being pointed directly at them, especially in public. But we're all like this, actually speaking. We're all like this. And we need the heavy reminders, the very direct reminders. And we may be able to take it. We may not be able to take it. We may be able to act on it. But one day, we'll remember. And one day we'll say, yes, it's actually true. So Rishabhdev Maharaj continues, what is the key to tasting this Brahma Sokyam, the spiritual happiness? He says it's Mahat Sivam, serving the Mahat, the pure souls, the pure devotees. Even if one is an impersonalist or a personalist, a devotee, still the same path is there. And then he describes what is the Mahat. What are they like? They see everyone as souls. They're peaceful. They're always engaged in devotional work. They're devoid of anger. They don't act in any way abominably. This is Mahatma. It means great. Great soul. Prajantyananya manaso gyatva bhutidyam avyaya. They worship the Lord. So in text 3, he had described, on one side he said we should serve the devotees, on the other side, the great devotees especially. And on the other side, we should not associate with materialistic people. Now, in sometimes you read in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that it says that if you even see the face of a materialistic person, you should jump into the Ganges River with all your clothes on and everything like that. So obviously we couldn't do that, practically speaking, and it's not quite the same jumping in the Swan River. You'd probably get arrested anyway. And worse. But it's expressing something that's a real danger. The real danger is because we're so susceptible to association, if we associate with materialistic people, we pick up material desires, just like if we associate with someone who's always sneezing with a cold, we'll catch a cold. So that's the danger that's being expressed, and it's a true danger, and it's a fearful danger. When we think about it from the point of view that material desires, selfish desires, I want this, I want to exploit that, I really want to enjoy that. If we allow those type of desires to enter the heart, I need this, then that's going to cause us to take one birth, after the next, until our desires are satisfied, which they never are, because they burn like fire. Whatever fuel we put in, it just increases. So therefore, that real point, the danger of materialistic association, we should become aware of, because ultimately, people who think, as text, then it goes to text 4, rather 3, that rather than wanting to increase the material desires, serious devotees who are fixed, who have already made their mind up and will not be seduced away by all the allurements and temptations of Maya. On one side, they're not interested in dealing with people who are materialistic, really for the purpose of gaining what those people have. And they don't like to do anything not related to Krishna consciousness, because they're very, very fixed on the path. This is, of course, very rare. Nishta. Bhakti bhavati nishtiki. They're not interested in just collecting money to increase their wealth and the softness of their facilities. And no, they just want, they need enough money, and they take enough money, they get enough money just to keep their life balanced and organized and together. Then in text 4, Rishabhdev has said, that we have attained this material body by our previous activities, and our activities now will gain us our next material body. Therefore, be very, very, very careful. He's decided, I want to break through this cycle of birth and death. I want to break out of this. I've had enough. I'm a soul. I've tried so many things even in this life. I've seen others try so many things. I've seen what a mess material life is like. I've seen myself and others in their youth enter life with grandiose plans and hopes and aspirations, and see that everyone ends up in the same position ultimately. The material body is dead. And if we live to old age, everyone ends up only in the memories. That's all they have. I don't want to enter into this again. I'm finished. So he realizes what is the cause of this, the whole cycle, the cause of this entire cycle is this very, very deep desire to enjoy that enjoying spirit. So he doesn't want to indulge that. Doesn't want to engage in anything that brings karma. He doesn't want to add more impurities to the mind. As long as the mind is impure, consciousness is unclear. He doesn't want to add more. So he lives in a very sattvic mode of goodness way, and he hears Shastra, and he chants, and he goes to the temple. He doesn't eat what he shouldn't eat. He eats what he should eat. He lives in a prescribed way because he doesn't want to add more unclarity, confusion to the mind, because that will cause him future suffering of birth after birth after birth. An absorption in fruitive activities, trying to satisfy all those desires that are sitting there. So in text 6, evam mana karma vashan prayumte avidyat mani upadhyam mane. Thus, he understands his situation, and then prithir nayavat mayi vasudeve. This is a very nice point. Prithir nayavat mayi vasudeve namuchate deha yoginatavat. This means that, I'll just read the Prabhupada's translation of the verse, when the living entity is covered by the mode of ignorance, he does not understand the individual living being and the supreme living being, and his mind is subjugated to fruitive activities. This is our position. Due to ignorance means lack of knowledge, lack of light, lack of seeing things in the right perspective. What is the right perspective? We are eternal. We are souls. We have nothing at all to do with the body. But in ignorance, we completely identify with the body. And therefore we serve the body, slave to the dictations of the body. And our mind is subjugated to fruitive activities, to endless, endless activities which in and themselves have no pleasure for us. They're torture. But to get what we want are the selfish things that we want. We perform those fruitive activities hoping for the fruit which we hope to enjoy. So that's a basic definition of material life. Therefore, priti nayavad mai vasudeva. Priti means great love or affection. Nayavad mai vasudeva. Until one has great love and affection for Vasudeva, for me, Rishabhdev Maharaj says, the supreme Lord, the all-pervading Lord, there will be no way that he can get out of this cycle, this of repeated birth and death, following the mind, trying to enjoy the body, one after another, after another, after another, again and again and again. So this is the point. One has to learn priti nayavad mayi vasudeva. We have to learn to love Krishna. That will burn, make insignificant whatever material desires we happen to have. It's like shadow cannot be there in the presence of the sun. If love for Krishna is burning in our heart, then there is no darkness, no ignorance, no material desire. So this is actually the process. On one hand, we don't do certain things, but on the other hand, the things that we do them, with the things that we don't do are just to allow the fire of love to begin. Because material desires are like pouring water. If we engage in materialistic activities, it's like pouring water while trying to start the fire. But the real purpose is to light the fire of love within our consciousness, love for Krishna. And until that happens, one cannot be delivered from this cycle of birth and death. And that liberation can't happen without love, without some bhakti. But something more wonderful than liberation occurs, and that is the life of prema bhakti, a life of full eternal love with the Supreme Lord in his eternal abode of Krishna Loka. That's actually the goal. That makes liberation appear most insignificant. Text 7. Even though one may be very learned and wise, he is mad. What is another word for mad? Yeah. Crazy. He is crazy, mad, foolish. Or his activities are ridiculous if he does not understand that the endeavor for sense gratification is a useless waste of time. So Rishabhdev Maharaj telling his son so straight, you're a fool, you're crazy if you don't realize this point. Endeavor for sense gratification is a useless waste of time. So here we all sit wearing our dunce caps. We're foolish, but we should stop being foolish. Because we should not pour water on the fire, we should light the fire of love for Krishna in our hearts. Being forgetful of his own interests. So how strongly is Rishabhdev condemning sense gratification? Forgetful of his own interests, he tries to be happy in the material world, centering his interests around his home, which is based on sexual intercourse, and which brings him all kinds of material miseries. In this way, one is no better than a foolish animal. So heavily condemning this. On another level, we heard with Prita Maharaj, Priyavrata Maharaj, that one can and should get married if it's the best thing for his Krishna consciousness. But actually one should know that these things in and of itself cannot bring us happiness. It's only when the soul's love becomes a blaze that we become happy. We cannot be happy in the material world. It's a useless waste of time to attempt. Its ending is death. How could we be happy knowing we're going to die? It's prior to death, it's old age, and one disease after another, after another, after another. How could we be happy knowing that's our fate? Only by forgetting, being illusioned. Forgetting what the future is. So therefore he's condemning sense gratification very strongly. Saying if one is thinking that this is the purpose of life, one is no better than an animal. And then, Pumsa Striya Matuni Bhava Metan, very famous verse. Tayo Mito Ridya Granti Mahu Ato Griha Chetra Sutapta Vitaya Janasya Mohoyam Aham Ameti. This means, now, as will be explained later, this is especially, these instructions are especially for those who are renounced in the renounced order. All these instructions actually are especially for them. But everyone should know these things in the core of the heart, even though they may not be able to act practically speaking on this level. We should not buy fully into materialistic life regardless of what our position is. Even if we're not really strong and fixed, still we should know that material life can promise only, it cannot deliver. So here, Pumsan Striya. Pumsa is a male, Striya female. Matuni Bhava Metan. Now he's going to explain the root of the entanglement in material life. Pumsa Striya Matuni Bhava Metan. They become attracted for the pleasure of physical enjoyment, male and female. Tayor Mito Ridya Granti Mahu. It means, Ridya Granta means the tight knot is tied in the heart. Very, very tight. This binds us, ties us, this attraction between male and female binds one to material life, binds one to repeated birth and death. Why? Because both male and female are thinking of themselves as the center and as the enjoyer. So there is a pact that you facilitate my enjoyment, I will facilitate your enjoyment. So actually speaking, in Krishna consciousness, we don't actually preach against household life. But yet, we know that this isn't the purpose of life. And we know that when men and women, males, females get together, there is such a tendency to get illusioned. There is such a tendency to get an illusion, thinking that life is meant for enjoyment. The fire of that type of enjoyment, when it fills the mind, cannot be extinguished. This hard knot is tied in the heart that I am the enjoyer, I am the center. And then what results from that? Ato griha chetra sutapta vitaya. It expands. from this is my wife, this is my husband. Actually, they're not mine. Actually, they don't belong to me. So that feeling of mine is the hard knot, because actually what we should be thinking, I am Krishna's. Instead, we apportion parts of the material world as mine. That I am, it's mine means it's my property, it's my possession, I'm the Lord over it. Illusion. We're not the Lord over anything in this world. Nothing, 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 nothing. Not even our own bodies, what to speak of someone else's. So then that sense of mine, that I'm the center, that I am the enjoyer, that something is mine, it begins to expand by this not being tied between husband and wife. Again, in Krishna consciousness, we understand clearly that this is required for most people, and this type of heavy preaching is tempered with that. But yet still, everyone should know that this is not the purpose of life, and there's an element of illusion in that. Strong element. So then what happens is this ato griha chatur, it expands, because as soon as you're married, you need a griha, a house, and then chatra, some land, sutapta, then the children come, vitaya, and it expands, and you need more and more and more and more. And suddenly you find yourself so entangled in things, with no time, no time, when am I going to get some time, when am I going to get some time? All this, just to keep the establishment moving and rolling, takes up one's entire life and one's entire energy and one's entire mind. And then suddenly, and it goes like that in a flash, one finds oneself very, very old. One's life is gone. I even met one devotee, Mataji's father. She was probably in late 20s, and he was probably in his late 50s. And he said, I can't help but keep thinking, what am I going to do when I grow up? Really, this isn't a rare way of thinking. Because we're always looking, what am I going to do? But that keeps on going, and life is suddenly gone. And not only we growed up, we're dead. It's too late to grow up. We never get around to it, in one sense. Of what do we really want to do with our life? What do we really want to do? What do we want to accomplish? So this is, and then janasya mohayam aham ameti. In this type of illusion, the person is mohayam, he's completely illusion, thinking aham ameti. Thinking that this is mine, this is mine, this is mine. Look what I have amassed through my 20 years, my 50 years. Look what I have amassed. I've gotten together. They're all this, all different sizes of them. Prabhupada's translation. The attraction between male and female is the basic principle of material existence. On the basis of this misconception, which ties together the hearts of the male and female, one becomes attracted to his body, home, property, children, relatives, and wealth. In this way, one increases life's illusions and thinks in terms of I and mine. So, in Krishna consciousness, we allow Prabhupada, actually, when I was 21, I wrote Prabhupada a letter and said, I've decided to remain brahmachari. And he wrote back saying, very good, because if you remain brahmachari, your life is simpler. But Krishna consciousness is so powerful that one can become elevated regardless, or Krishna conscious regardless of one's position in that way. So Prabhupada explains that in the purport too. But life should, our married life, if we're married, if we're going to get married, should be centered around Krishna. So what happens in this way? The false ego is forged. When the strong knot, text 9, in the heart of a person implicated in material life, due to the results of past action, is slackened, when the heart knot is slackened, one turns away from his attachment to home, wife, and children. In this way, one gives up the basic principle of illusion, that is, I and mine, thinking that this body, I am my body, and all I can gather is mine. So one becomes liberated, thus one goes to the transcendental world. Prabhupada's short purport. When by associating with sadhus and engaging in devotional service, one is gradually freed from the material conception due to knowledge, practice, and detachment, the knot of attachment in the heart is slackened. Thus, one can get freed from conditioned life and become eligible to return back home, back to Godhead. Now, in text 10 through 13, the mood shifts from the process of what to do. Rishabhdev Maharaj has spoken about illusion and the causes of illusion. Now, what to do? Oh, my sons, you should accept a highly elevated Paramhamsa, a spiritually advanced spiritual master. In this way, you should place your faith and love in me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You should detest sense gratification and tolerate the duality of pleasure and pain, which are like the seasonal changes of summer and winter. Try to realize the miserable condition of living entities who are miserable even in the higher planetary systems. Philosophically inquire about the truth. Then undergo all kinds of austerities and penances for the sake of devotional service. Give up the endeavor for sense enjoyment and engage in the service of the Lord. Listen to discussions about the Supreme Personality of Godhead and always associate with devotees. Chant about and glorify the Supreme Lord and look upon everyone equally on the spiritual platform. Give up enmity and subdue anger and lamentation. Abandon identifying the self with the body and the home and practice reading the revealed scriptures. Live in a secluded place and practice the process by which you have completely control, which you can completely control your life, air, mind, and senses. Practice yoga. Have full faith in the revealed scriptures, the Vedic literatures, and always observe celibacy. Perform your prescribed duties and avoid unnecessary talk. Always think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Acquire knowledge from the right source. Thus, practicing bhakti yoga, you will patiently and enthusiastically be elevated in knowledge and will be able to give up the false ego. Purport. In these four verses, Rishabhdev tells his sons how they can be freed from the false identification arising from false ego and material conditioned life. So the whole process is here. One gradually becomes liberated by practicing as mentioned above. All these prescribed methods enable one to give up the material body, lingam vyapohit, and be situated in his original spiritual body. First of all, one has to accept a bona fide spiritual master. This is advocated by Srila Rupa Goswami in his Bhaktivedanta Sindhu, Sri Guru Parasraya. Although Sri Guru Parasraya, first thing. To be freed from the entanglement of the material world, one has to approach a spiritual master. Tad vigyanartam sagarum evabhigatschet. By questioning the spiritual master and by serving him, one can advance in spiritual life. When one engages in devotional service, naturally the attraction for personal comfort, for eating, sleeping, and dressing is reduced. By associating with the devotee, a spiritual standard is maintained. The word Matdeva Sangat is very important. There are many so-called religions devoted to the worship of various demigods, but here, good association means association with one who simply accepts Krishna as his worshipable deity. Another important item is dvandva tatiksha. As long as one is situated in the material world, there must be pleasure and pain arising from the material body. As Krishna advises in Bhagavad Gita, tams tatiksha svabharata. One has to learn how to tolerate the temporary pains and pleasures of this material world. One must also be detached from his family and practice celibacy. Sex with one's wife, according to the scriptural injunctions, is also accepted as brahmacharya, celibacy. But illicit sex is opposed to religious principles, and it hampers advancement in spiritual consciousness. Another important word is vijnana virajita. Everything should be done very scientifically and consciously. One should be a realized soul. In this way, one can give up the entanglement of material bondage. What do you think about that instruction? One should be a realized soul. This is what we are meant for. We tend to usually think that is meant for someone else. But actually, we are meant to awaken our love for Krishna and living in that relationship. We, each and every one of us. Next. Now, he's going to move on a bit. As I have advised you, my dear sons, you should act accordingly. Be very careful. By these means, you will be freed from the ignorance of the desire for fruitive activity, because that is the root of the false ego. The root is our turning from Krishna. Then, based on our false ego, the consciousness reflected in matter, the false ego is there. Then the next thing is immediately fruit of activity. So that's the first product of the ignorance. So you will be freed from the ignorance of the desire for fruit of activity, and the knot of bondage in the heart will be completely severed. For further advancement, you should also give up the means. In other words, if you've taken to karma or jnana to get to the goal, what is the goal that he said? He said, priti na yavan mai vasudeva, to develop that love for Vasudeva, for Krishna. And if you've used the process of karma, jnana, yoga to get to that point, don't be attached to the different steps that you've walked upon to get to that goal. You have to give them up too. There is a tendency, if one is practicing karma, to get attached to the fruit of one's activities. There's a tendency, if one is practicing jnana yoga, to think that to fully identify with being the supreme. There's a tendency, if one is practicing astanga yoga, which helps one realize the paramatma, to get attached to the powers that come along with that. So these tendencies, as well as the processes, should be rejected. Otherwise, one will get stuck on one of the steps and not get to the top. So one should be very careful. For further advancement, you should also give up the means that you've used to get there. Not to give up bhakti, because bhakti is not only the means, but the end. That is, you should not become attached to the process of liberation itself. The idea, as Prabhupada explains in the purport, we keep this always in mind, is to attain parabhakti, or pure devotional service, transcendental devotional service. Text 15. So those are the basic instructions that he's given. Now, one should also instruct others on these points. Dependence, because in this world we have so many relationships, some people are we're depending upon, and other people depend upon us. So this is specifically, these next instructions for four verses will talk about a responsibility that everyone has in all relationships. If one is serious about going back home, back to Godhead, he must consider the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the summum bonum and the chief aim of life. What does that mean? Huh? What? Okay.
Everything, summum bonum,
what is everything? Yeah, that one should think of that. If one is serious, one should think about attaining the mercy of Krishna, because only by mercy do we really get out. We work, but it's only to attract mercy, to become qualified to receive mercy. If he is a father instructing his sons, a spiritual master instructing his disciples, or a king instructing his citizens, he must instruct them as I have advised. Because if we remember, the priests who were instructing Pachini Bahishat previously were instructing him about fruit of activity. So he's condemning all these lesser instructions and making sure that it is clear to everyone, whether they can follow or not, it should be clear to everyone what the purpose of life is. At least the goal should be clear, not foggy, fuzzy, or hazy. So everyone should do this, instruct them as I have advised, without being angry. He should continue giving instructions even if his disciple, son, or citizen is sometimes unable to follow his order. Ignorant people who engage in pious and impious activities should be engaged in devotional service by all means. They should always avoid fruit of activity. If one puts into the bondage of karmic activities his disciple, son, or citizen who is bereft of transcendental vision, how will one profit? It is like leading a blind man to a dark well and causing him to fall in. So this is very strongly on the responsibility of everyone who has others depending upon them. Very strongly. What is the benefit if we bring someone to a blind well and push them in, instruct them improperly, due to our own lack of advancement and lack of wisdom, ignorance? Due to ignorance, the materialistic person does not know anything about his real interest, the auspicious path in life. He is simply bound to material enjoyment by lusty desires, and all his plans are made for this purpose. For temporary sense gratification, such a person creates a society of envy. And due to this mentality, he plunges into the ocean of suffering. If we have envy in our heart, we cannot be happy in this world. And this, the society, making the way that society is organized, the general society, it's organized around making people think to acquire material wealth as the purpose of existence. Therefore, there's always people who have more than us, or imagining they have something that we don't have, and therefore there's so much envy in the heart, and therefore no one could be happy, because there's envy and greed based on kama, or all these desires. But temporary sense gratification, setting that up as the goal, such a person creates a society of envy, and due to this mentality plunges into the ocean of suffering. These are wise words. Cutting, true, and wise. Such a foolish person does not even know about this. People don't even know what they're doing to themselves. If someone is ignorant and addicted to the path of samsara, birth and death, how can one who is actually learned, merciful, and advanced in spiritual knowledge engage him in fruitive activity and thus further entangle him in material existence? If a blind man is walking down the wrong path, how can a gentleman allow him to continue on his way to danger? How can he approve this method? So it's a duty that people have to preach, in other words, especially to help. I mean, we can't often, I remember I made the, when I first started chanting, the first people you want to explain how foolish they are is your parents. At least I was like that. My father took me aside and said, "Son, if I was your son, it may be different. But I'm not, I'm your father." So he explained to me, it's practical reality. So we tried to help as best we can and not disturb people. I think in the old days it was really like that. A lot less now. But still, we should understand the truth that materialistic life is hollow. So no wise or kind man can allow this. And then a very famous verse, which sums up all these points that are made here about instructing others. Guru nasasyat, sajano nasasyat, pita nasasyat, janani nasasyat, daivim natatsyan, napatis natatsyan, na mukshayetya samupetya mityum. One who cannot deliver his dependents from the path of repeated birth and death should never become a spiritual master, a father, a husband, a mother, or a worshipable demigod. In other words, there is a responsibility attached to all relationships, and it's not just a material responsibility. The material responsibility is there, but the responsibility in a relationship implies a spiritual responsibility as well for the soul of the person, not just the body. Prabhupada explains in his purport. And I think we'll stop after this one. There are many spiritual masters, but Rishabhdev advises that one should not become a spiritual master if he is unable to save his disciple from the path of birth and death. Unless one is a pure devotee of Krishna, he cannot save himself from the path of repeated birth and death. Chakvadeham puna janmanaitimam eti sojana. One can stop birth and death only by returning back home, back to Godhead. However, who can go back to Godhead unless he understands the Supreme Lord in truth? Janma karma chame dibyam evam yo veti tatvata. We have many instances in history illustrating Rishabhdev's instruction. Sukracharya was rejected by Bali Maharaj due to his inability to save Bali Maharaj from the path of repeated birth and death. Sukracharya was not a pure devotee. He was more or less inclined to fruitive activity. And he objected when Bali Maharaj promised to give everything to Lord Vishnu. Actually, one is supposed to give everything to the Lord because everything belongs to the Lord. Consequently, the Supreme Lord advises in Bhagavad Gita, Yat karosi yat ashnasi yat jahosi dadati yat yat tapasyasi kautiyat tad kurusva marapadam. O son of Kunti, all that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, as well as all austerities that you may perform, should be done as an offering unto me. This is bhakti. Unless one is devoted, he cannot give everything to the Supreme Lord. Unless one can do so, he cannot become a spiritual master, husband, father, or mother. Similarly, the wives of the brahmanas who were performing sacrifice gave up their relatives just to satisfy Krishna. This is an example of a wife rejecting a husband who cannot deliver her from the impending dangers of birth and death. Similarly, Prahlad Maharaj rejected his father, and Bharat Maharaj rejected his mother, Janani Nasasyat. The word daivam indicates a demigod, or one who accepts worship from a dependent. Ordinarily, the spiritual master, husband, father, mother, or superior relative receives worship from an inferior relative. But here, Rishabdev forbids this. First, the father, spiritual master, or husband, must be able to release the dependent from repeated birth and death. If he cannot do this, he plunges himself into the ocean of reproachment for his unlawful activities. Everyone should be responsible and take charge of his dependents, just as a spiritual master takes charge of his disciple, or a father takes charge of his son. All these responsibilities cannot be discharged honestly unless one can save the dependent from repeated birth and death. And then in 19 and 20, I think I will read these. Rishabdev Maharaj explains who he is. He starts 19. Idam saridam mama durvibhavyam. That means this saridam, this body that I have, is durvibhavyam. It is inconceivable. Sattvam, with no tinges of material nature, a fully transcendental body, inconceivable. My transcendental body, Satchidananda Vigraha, looks exactly like a human form. But it is not a material human body. It is inconceivable. I am not forced by nature to accept a particular type of body. I take on a body by my own sweet will. This is Janmakarma Chameitubhyam. My heart is also spiritual, and I always think of the welfare of my devotees. Therefore, within my heart can be found the process of devotional service, which is meant for the devotees. Bhakti is in the heart of Krishna. Far from my heart have I abandoned irreligion, adharma, and non-devotional activities. They do not appeal to me. Due to these transcendental qualities, people generally pray to me as Rishabdev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the best of all living entities. Prabhupada's purport. We have to accept, for a materialistic person, the complete spiritual body, completely spiritual body, is inconceivable. We have to accept the version of the Vedas when our experimental perception cannot understand a subject. As stated in the Brahma Samhita, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha, the Supreme Lord has a body with form, but that body is not composed of material elements. It is made of spiritual bliss, eternity, and living force. But the inconceivable energy of the Supreme by the inconceivable energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord can appear before us in His original spiritual body. But because we have no experience of the spiritual body, We are sometimes bewildered and see the form of the Lord as material. The Mayavadi philosophers are completely unable to conceive of a spiritual body. They say that the spirit is always impersonal, and whenever they see something personal, they take it for granted that it is material. Bhagavad Gita says, Avajananti mamudha manushyam tanamashrita parambhava majanantom mamabhuta maheshvaram. Fools deride me when I descend in the human form. They do not know my transcendental nature and my supreme dominion over all that be. Unintelligent people think that the Supreme Lord accepts a body composed of the material energy. We can easily understand the material body, but we cannot understand the spiritual body. Therefore, Rishabhdev Maharaj says, Idam Sharidam Mamadur Vibhavyam. So this is actually a most wonderful thing, how Krishna has a fully spiritual body, and it is inconceivable to everyone, basically, who does not accept these Shastra conclusions. Practically speaking, the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Krishna Conscious Movement, are the only ones who speak about the personality of Godhead. And of course, there's the other Vaishnava Sampradayas too. But in every other religion and all the spiritual practices, no one understands that God is a person. Always it comes to something impersonal. Always it comes to something impersonal. Because by the ascending process, we cannot understand the personality of God. It's impossible. A different process is needed, and that process is bhakti. And then the last verse we will read. My dear boys, you are all born of my heart, which is the seat of all spiritual qualities. Therefore, you should not be like materialistic and envious men. You should accept your eldest brother, Bharat, who is exalted in devotional service. If you engage yourself in Bharat's service, your service to him will include my service, and you will rule the citizens automatically. So he's telling all the sons to take shelter of the great soul Bharat Maharaj, and we're going to hear many chapters about Bharat Maharaj later on. So he's telling the younger sons to take shelter of Bharat. And from Prabhupada's purport, Rishabhdev's heart was always uncontaminated and spiritual. Consequently, all the sons born from the heart of Rishabhdev were spiritually inclined. Nonetheless, Rishabhdev suggested that his eldest son was superior, and he advised the others to serve him. All the brothers of Bharat Maharaj were advised by Rishabhdev to adhere to Bharat's service. The question may be asked why one should be attached to family members. From the beginning, it was advised that one should not be attached to home and family. However, it is also advised, Mahi Isham Parajo Bhisheka, one has to serve the Mahiyan, one who is spiritually advanced. Mahat Sevam Dwana Mahorva Mukte, by serving the Mahat, the exalted devotees, one's path for liberation is open. The family of Rishabhdev should not be compared to an ordinary materialistic family. Bharat Maharaj, Rishabhdev's eldest son, was specifically very exalted. For this reason, the other sons were advised to serve him for his pleasure. That was to be their duty. The Supreme Lord was advising Bharat Maharaj to be the chief ruler of this planet. In this way. Okay, thank you very much. You're all very patient and listened very carefully. A long class with a lot in it. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Rishabhdev Maharaj ki jai.